Well, folks, welcome to Currum Community. This is episode number 2. I'm Marcus.
And I'm Lee.
And Lee, we've got some amazing guests. We always have amazing guests on the show. And for the second time running, we've got someone in the community, and this is the Currum Surf Life Saving Club.
I've really been looking forward to getting these guys down here and having a bit of a chat with them. So welcome, Ben, and welcome, Catherine, from the Currum Surf Life Saving Club.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks. Hello, Marcus.
We'd like to ask you a couple of quick questions, if we could. Give us a little bit of history about the club, if you can, a little bit of background, how it started and where it's going into the future.
Yeah, well, the life-saving, I suppose, has been at Currum Beach since the early 1920s, with the Royal Life Saving Society coming down and doing exhibitions and demonstrations and that sort of thing. The first record we've got of a club being formed at Currum was 1922.
Wow.
And we've got some records in newspapers that a club was formed. But as most young clubs do, they struggled early days and started and stopped. So the official affiliation date we've got for the club is 1937.
Okay.
And we've been constantly affiliated with the parent body since then.
Okay.
So that's the date we recognise, which is 80 years next year. So we're looking forward to celebrating 80 years.
We'll have a big party next year.
The Life Saving Club being at Currum. Over the years, the club's been really successful, hosted many state championships and those sort of things. In the late to mid-1990s, we affiliated with Surf Life Saving, so we were duly affiliated with the Surf Life Saving Association as well as the Royal Life Saving Society. And then since then, the two associations have merged to form Life Saving Victoria. So we're fairly proud that we were part of that that early groundswell to try and make that happen. And then the club continued on strength to strength. In more recent times, we had the building got damaged and condemned in that storm, and the membership fell right away, which was probably one of the lower times in more recent history of the club. Membership dropped to about 60 people, of which probably 10 to 15 were life members that weren't actually active in the club, and a lot of the rest were the nippers, so we only had a few active lifesavers patrolling the beach. But then 3 years ago, the new building was constructed, and it's a great...
And what
great
a building,
building
that is down there.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's literally award-winning, winning architectural awards. And since then, membership's doubled year on year, and we've gone from strength to strength. So it's really, really bright times for the club at the moment.
What sort of membership do you have at the moment? What sort of numbers?
We're at about 350.
Wow, so from 60 up to 350.
Yeah. A lot of those are nippers, so we've got about 150 of the nippers running around on the beach, which is quite a scene on on those Saturday mornings with all the pink vests running around on the beach. We've probably got about 25, 30 active lifesavers, and that's probably the number that we want to see increase, and that's the area that we're really focusing on in terms of membership this year.
And what sort of days of the week and time is do you have lifesavers in there? Can I put it over to Catherine?
We're there Saturdays and Sundays,
okay.
Anywhere between 12 and 6, depending on the period. So we start off at 12 till 5:30, then we swap to 12 till 6, and then the latter part of the season we come back 12 till 5.
And the season starts when?
12th of November's our first patrol. We kick off.
Okay. And when does it finish?
Easter weekend this year.
Okay.
So it'll be the long weekend of Easter. Easter Monday will be our last patrol for the season.
I did jump in there last week and it is still a little bit cold, isn't it?
Just a little.
Look, I suppose another question I'd like to ask, obviously you do a lot of great work out there. How many lives a year do you save out there?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. Last year we had 12 rescues, so 12 people were rescued at Currum Beach. But then we've also got preventive actions. So we had like 300-odd actions that we did last year that steered people away from danger before a rescue was actually necessary. And that's probably the number that we are more proud of.
Yes.
Because it's more proactive and it's getting...
Preventative.
Now, that's not to say that all 300-odd of those people would have ended up drowning had we not intervened.
Yeah.
But I think if you do, work on the odds, there's a good chance that a few of them would have got into real serious strife. And we had the mass rescue of 9 people in one go, late one evening, down at Patterson River there, where a group of people, a couple of people got in trouble and then more went in to try and help them. And we ended up with, literally we were there with boards and the boat and people hanging off the sides of the boat and ambulances and the whole bit. So, it was really quite a dramatic afternoon.
I've actually seen some articles in the paper, local paper, about involvement with the Paterson River and some of the difficulties which people... I don't know why you'd swim in the Paterson River and near the exit there, but people do. So that's been something you guys have really been concerned about and definitely talking to the local media about. Do you want to talk about that, some of your experiences there?
Yeah, so at the mouth of the river, coming out from the beach at the very end of the river, it just drops. It goes from being sort of knee-deep to waist-deep to nothing. It's 2 metres plus because of the channel, and people get caught on the rocks, and there's quite a rip that can form there, especially if we get one of the westerlies coming through. The angles of the wave, if a change hits, and it gets them off guard and gets them into the middle of the river, so it's quite dangerous, and that's where our mass rescue happened. And the jumping off the bridge as well is a huge concern. People jump off the bridge, they think it's fun, it's great games, but they don't think of it could be a spinal injury. And the dangers that that can involve.
We find that when people are most likely to get into trouble at the mouth of the river is because it's a beautiful spot, as is all of Carrum Beach. It's a wonderful place to be. But they'll come down during the day on one of those hot days when we've got the strong northerly winds coming down. They'll walk in next to the river, so they'll walk in off the beach, and they'll be playing there all day, throwing balls to each other. When someone misses the ball, it starts blowing south away from the river because that's the way the wind's blowing. Then in the evening, the cool change comes around. All of a sudden, the wind swings around, increases. It's coming from the southwest. Now the ball's blowing into the channel mouth instead of away from the channel mouth. When the wave comes, they get lifted off the sand. When they go back down onto the sand, their feet aren't touching the ground anymore because they're being pushed towards the channel mouth, and then they panic, and then their friends panic, and then their family panic, and next thing you know, you've got a dozen people in the water all panicking and getting pushed out to sea. So that's when the majority of the problems happen.
Upcoming events. Obviously, the season starts on November the 12th. It's going to get really exciting down there. There's a lot of things going to be happening. Catherine, you want to mention one or two things that might be popping up?
Yeah, so we've got our open day on the 15th of October from 10 o'clock in the morning. So that's a great day to come down and have a look and see what we're all about and see what the club's about and have a look and see if you're interested in joining. It's a good day.
What sort of age groups do you need to join there? That was one of my questions I'm going to ask. Like, obviously, you need to recruit some more people down there. It's a lot of fun, obviously, being a surf lifesaver. It's great to be part of the community down there. Yeah. What sort of age groups do you need to be?
So we start from nippers. We've got our fives, under fives for nippers, and you've got to be 5 to start nippers, and then we work through and become an SRC member when you're sort of 13, 14, you can get your starting of your patrolling awards and go right through. There's actually no age limit on being a patrolling member.
Obviously, swimming is a key requisite to being a surf lifesaver, but what other skills are needed, obviously?
It is, but we've got positions where you don't have to be active on the beach. Okay. We've got things like radio operator certificates, first aid, resus certificates you can actually do without being in the water, so you can still be a member of our patrolling group and not have to complete the water. We've got set criteria we have to have on patrols. Yes, swimming does help, obviously. We're at the beach, but... it's not a prerequisite. There are positions, and it comes down to we can have age managers for our nippers. We can have parent helpers with our nippers.
Excellent.
There's team managers we can do with nippers for those that want to be involved in the club but not actually physically on the beach.
So basically anybody can get in touch with you guys, come down and get involved and be a member of the Council of Life.
Yeah, absolutely. You just have to have a valid working with children's check to be once you're over 18 to be a member.
Okay, I think that's the key thing there is, absolutely anyone's welcome at the club. From 5 years old right through till as old as you want to be, if you want to come down and help out, we'll find something that you can do to help out. As Kaf said, the only requirement we've got is if you're 18 or over, you've got to have a valid working with children check. But outside of that, we'll find something you can help with.
Now, Ben and Catherine, I've noticed on your Facebook page that you guys have received some amazing awards in the last sort of 6 months or so. Do you want to talk about some of those awards that some of you have been involved with? Ben, you want to go on about that, mate? Fantastic stuff. It's great to see you for Carrum, and you guys have done an amazing job.
Yeah, well, we were really proud at the recent Lifesaving Victoria Awards of Excellence to be finalists for Club of the Year. So that's to be up there next to Warrnambool Surf Lifesaving Club and the winner of the Club of the Year, which was Venus Bay Surf Lifesaving Club. So we were in pretty good company there. And I think that was really just in recognition of what the club's been doing, our patrol activities, the way our nippers have been developing. We've also been getting more active in terms of training and assessment, and we've got people getting qualified applied in some of those more advanced life-saving skills and training awards. So that was fantastic. The other great thing that came from the Awards of Excellence night was Catherine was a finalist for the John Wishart Medal, which was for Lifesaver of the Year. So
no way.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean? What does that mean exactly?
Well, it's basically recognition of the lifesavers that are on the beach. It recognised Catherine's time on the beach. She's patrolled the third highest amount of patrol hours last year in the state.
Wow.
So that's unsustainable, Kath. You need to do less hours. But a fantastic recognition of that. But also Kath's a trainer. She's an assessor. She's a do-all person at the club. So that was great recognition. And Catherine was the only female finalist. So fantastic. As far as I'm concerned, fantastic. Catherine's the female lifesaver of the year for Victoria last year.
Fantastic. Catherine, it must have been an amazing experience being there and receiving the award.
Yeah, it was. To be a finalist was just brilliant. But I can't do anything and I can't take all of that. It's down to the team that you work with. And it's a fantastic group of dedicated members and committee that we work with day in, day out at the club. If it wasn't for everyone on the team, then we wouldn't be the success we've been in the last few years, and it's been great just to watch the club go from strength to strength.
The other thing I think that's probably important to recognise is that that was just two awards out of many that are recognised at the Awards of Excellence, and we sat down as a team and looked at them all, and we could have had nominations for all of the different sections, for the Nipper of Activities and you know, Trainer of the Year and all the other sort of awards that they have. In the end, we sort of focused on these two, but everyone at the club's done a fantastic job last year and all of them deserve to be recognised.
Hear, hear. Love Karam's work.
One last question. Is it true the Hoff modelled Baywatch after watching you guys down the beach?
We're not that quick at running, so perhaps the slow motion running might have been modelled off us. Certainly the old Baywatch scarabs are a lot more impressive than the little inflatable boats we've got running around. Having said that, I think our little rubber duckies would probably be more effective in what we do than those big giant scarabs. So, no, other than the fact that I've got very skinny legs and so does the Hoff, there's probably not much resemblance there. We also, if we, and thankfully, and touching wood, we've not had to do resus and that sort of stuff in recent years, but I dare say if we did, it perhaps might be a bit more realistic and they wouldn't cough and splutter after 10 seconds and suddenly come back to life.
And I was just about to say, you guys are doing it real down there, you know, keeping it real as well, so it's a great what you're doing down there. Well, thank you, Ben and Catherine from the Karam Surf Life Saving Club for coming down to Radio Karam and giving us your insights on what you're doing down there. And anybody who's out there in the community who wants to get in touch with Kath and Ben, what do they do? Telephone numbers, Facebook? How do they get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, you can get onto our Facebook page. Just look for Karam Surf Life Saving Club, and we keep public activities on there. Otherwise, you can email us at info@karamslsc.com, or if you want to give us a call, 9776 0504.
And like we said before, guys, that's anybody from the age of 5 right up to in your 60s and beyond. There's always work down there for somebody to do, so get in touch with them, and let's keep Karam Surf Life Saving Club the great thing that it is.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Well, folks, there's lots of things going on in Karam, and this is sort of a bit of a community roundup, Lee.
It is, and obviously last night was daylight saving, so now we've got an extra hour in the evening, so summer is coming, I believe so, even though it's still a little bit windy out there, but summer is definitely coming, and there are going to be lots of activities going on.
Absolutely. Now, look, Lee, I mentioned our last episode, the Karam Cricket Club are up and about this season, of course, and they've got their first game next Saturday, the 8th of October. They're playing against Frankston YCW. It's a one-day game.
Excellent.
Normally it's two-day games, but they're playing a one-day game, and it's at home. So we've got to love that.
Roy Door Reserve.
Yes, absolutely, Roy Door Reserve.
Get down there, folks.
And exactly. And folks, if any kids in the family out there, they've got a huge junior comp down there, the under-10s, 12s, 14s, 16s, and, of course, the girls.
And the girls this season girls as well, cricket. So get down there. Nobody's got an excuse not
up and
to be
about
involved.
At Roy Door Reserve with the Karam Cricket Club. Lee.
Yes, and the Karam Sailing and Motorboat Club, they've got a 2016 opening day breakfast. That is going to be on Sunday, the 9th of October from 9:30 at the Paterson River Motorboat Club, which is obviously down the foreshore at Stephen Street in Karam there. There'll be a breakfast, there'll be a blessing of the fleet, there'll be lots of things going on. So get down there and enjoy the day.
Should be a great day. Folks, and next weekend, we've got the Beach Lane Spring Festival. And, of course, we broadcast from up in the library at
Beach
Lane.
We're up in the library right here, right now.
This is beautiful up here. So we're next weekend, it goes Friday right through to Sunday, 7th to the 9th of October. And, you know, they've got yoga, Pilates, meditation, creative arts, workshops, outdoor markets, the whole lot, Lee.
The whole lot.
It's all happening. And, of course, Lee, Radio Karam's doing a live broadcast next Saturday morning. We'll be up and about from about 10 or so. More about that later on Radio Karam.
Are you doing yoga? Or are you going to be centering yourself with a few chapters maybe? Or
I'm probably not doing the yoga, but I'll be just talking about it. How about that?
Absolutely. A lot of positive things going on down here. And the Paterson River Fire Brigade, they do a lot of good work. They've got an open day as well and a sausage sizzle. That is going to be on the 15th of October from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's going to be live demonstrations, colouring competitions for the kids, station tours and a sausage sizzle. So get down there and support your local fire brigade.
They are amazing, those blokes. Fantastic stuff down there. And look, Lee, we had an interview last show with Cameron Howe, who's a candidate for the City of Kingston elections. And of course, next week, or during this coming week, we're all going to receive in the mail a slip inviting us to enter our postal vote into the City of Kingston Council elections, in particular the South Ward, which we are a part of. And look, Lee, did you know there are 13 candidates?
I didn't, and so I've noticed on the Facebook page the other day, 13.
There are 13, but you know what? They're only picking three. They're only three actual vacancies, so a lot of unhappy people, but but you want more competition for these sort of things, don't you?
Lifts again.
Absolutely. And now look, the postal votes are due in by the 21st of October. Now, Lee, I've spoken about this before. You probably noticed we have a really big concern about the Royddore Reserve and that development project that they're anticipating will happen down there. And I know that the Karen Paterson Lakes Sports Club wrote an email out to all 13 candidates.
All 13 candidates.
Asking for their opinions and views on various issues, including whether they support the redevelopment of the Royddore Reserve. They also asked another key question concerning whether they're supporting the returning of the Kingston Harvest Festival to Carrum, because as you know, this year was at Chelsea.
It was at the Millennium Park, yes.
Yeah, just a temporary thing. Well, we hope it's Bicentennial. Temporary. And
Bicentennial Park.
Correct, Wade. And so the question's gone out to all the candidates. And I imagine, keep an eye on that particular Facebook page, the Karen Paterson Lakes Sporting Club, and see, because I imagine they'll post up there their responses of each of the 13 candidates to their particular questions. But I'm really keen to see what they say, Lee.
I'm really keen too, because let's face it, the Harvest Festival is Carrum. The home of the Harvest Festival is at the Royddore Reserve.
It
should be back there. It was moved this year, I believe, because of a little bit of a redevelopment they're doing down there. There's no excuse not to get it back down there next year and for the people of Carrum.
And, of course, getting the Royddore Reserve developed, that whole project up and about. We want to make sure that all the candidates are supporting that concept as well too. Lee, anything else you want to cover before we finish up here today? I reckon we're just about done.
I think we're just about done too.
I really enjoyed talking to Ben and Catherine today.
Look, Ben's knowledge down there is unbelievable, and Catherine's knowledge. And I just asked them just off air how long these guys have actually been involved with the Council of Life Saving Club, because the knowledge is just fantastic. And Ben has been down there for 25 years, and Catherine has been down there for 17. So let's give them a great big hand of applause, and let's get behind them, and let's get down there and help and support them whenever we can. Obviously, they just mentioned that their open day is on the 15th. We've just talked about maybe we can do a live show down there. Do you think we could maybe do that?
Lee, I reckon let's pencil it in.
Let's pencil it in.
It'd be lovely to do one, because they'll be interviewing all the local people down there involved with the Carrum Surf Life Saving Club, and talk to Ben and Catherine again.
So,
and all the other surf life savers. So let's say it's a possibility.
Let's scratch it in stone. Let's not carve it in stone.
Correct, Wade. We'll keep you posted on that. But love to be down there to do a live broadcast.
Be good fun.
Look, Lee, I reckon that'll wrap us up as our second episode.
So it's good night from me.
Yep, good night from me. I'm Marcus.
I'm Lee.
And thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you in a fortnight's time.
We'll
take
see
it
you
easy.
In 2 weeks. Thank you very much.